Bell, Berryhill, Bradford, Canella, De Leon, Dodd, Fuller, Gaines, Galjani, Glazer, Hernandez, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Jackson, Lada, Leyva, McGuire, Mendoza, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Newman, Wynn, Nilsson, Pan, Porchettino, Roth, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Vidak, Wykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
A quorum is present. Would the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery please rise? We'll be led in prayer this afternoon by our guest chaplain, Reverends Bob and Patty Oshata. After which, please remain standing. We'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator Stone.
As we remember the people, families, and communities whose lives were uprooted by Executive Order 9066, I'd like to share a gift I was given almost five decades ago. Please join me in a moment of quiet reflection. In the late 1960s, I volunteered to help every Wednesday at a Hamilton Senior Citizens Program in San Francisco. Back then, this senior program was comprised entirely of our Issei first generation Japanese and Japanese Americans. Most were women. During our afternoons together, I would try to ask them about the camps. It was a subject our second generation Nisei never ever talked about. When my persistence wore them down, to my dismay, they talked lightly about the experience. Oh, there was baseball games, sumo, we learned to knit and sew. I wanted them to share their suffering and resentment for the injustices they had endured. I wanted to become their advocate and become angry and indignant for them because they would not. One afternoon, when again I persisted with my questions, a wonderful grandmotherly woman, Mrs. Kiyo Hirano, pulled me aside and quietly said, "Sono camp no hanashi wa mo yame nasai. Stop talking about the camp." "Mochiron tsurakatta," she said. "Of course, it was hard." Then she told me not to pick up pain and hardship that was not mine. She said the camp was her hardship, and the anger stops with her. She said that if she lived with hate, she would never have been able to live her life. And she warned me, if I pick up this pain and anger, it would poison my life. She used the word poison. We who are a part of the generations that have followed have been given a wonderful gift, a gift from all of those who endured the humiliation and injustice that was euphemistically referred to as camp. From them, we received the gift of no anger. On this day of remembrance, to those who have endured and sacrificed so much, please know that we, the generations that have followed, are forever grateful for this gift that has been too easily overlooked and too often taken for granted. Namo Amida Butsu. Let us try to live with kindness and gratitude beyond words.
Colleagues, please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
Okay, members, under privileges of the floor, Senator Monning.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President and members. It's my honor today, and I'd ask that you please join me in welcoming to the Senate chamber a group of impressive young adults from my district who are students at Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo. This delegation contains some of Cal Poly's most exceptional students, including many who have achieved excellence in disciplines that range from engineering and agriculture to the liberal arts. Many of these students have been recognized through success in competitions in their respective fields of study. They've received awards at the state and national level and participate in organizations like the Society of Women Engineers and Engineers Without Borders. The students are joined today by Cal Poly's president, Dr. Jeffrey Armstrong, his wife, Sharon. Dr. Armstrong has served as president of Cal Poly since 2011, and under his guidance and leadership, Cal Poly has continued to prove itself as one of the jewels of the CSU system. Members, please join me in welcoming President Armstrong, Mrs. Armstrong, and this outstanding group of students.
Welcome, Cal Poly. Great. Okay, members, we're now going to move forward with SCR 11. Secretary, please read. File item 12. Yeah. Members, if I could please have your attention. Secretary, please read SCR 11, and we'll have Senator Pan present it.
Senate concur resolution 11 by Senator Pan relative to a day of remembrance.
Great, Senator Pan.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the attention of the members on the floor, please.
Members, could we please have your attention? Senator Pan is trying to present a resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, I have the privilege of rising today to present Senate Concurrent Resolution 11, recognizing the 75th anniversary of the signing of Executive Order 9066. On February 19, 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, leading to one of our nation's darkest moments. Executive Order 9066 singled out individuals of Japanese ancestry and declared them enemy aliens. Even though most were citizens, more than 120,000 Japanese Americans and resident aliens were incarcerated in 10 internment camps scattered throughout the western states. Ordered to bring only what they could pack in a few suitcases, Japanese Americans lost their homes, businesses, and personal possessions. Most lost everything, and any inheritance they had hoped to pass along their children was now stripped away. Yet, despite the hatred and prejudice against them, they remained loyal to the United States. While their families were incarcerated, more than 33,000 Japanese Americans fought in the 100th Infantry Battalion, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, and Military Intelligence Service. The 442nd Regiment became one of the most decorated units for its size and length of service, and the MIS has been credited with shortening the war by 2 years, thanks to their translations. In 2010, the Japanese American veterans of World War II were given a Congressional Gold Medal for the service. Even after suspension of Executive Order 9066, the Japanese-American community continued to contribute to the improvement of our state and nation as they faced extreme racism and hatred. They fought for our civil rights and continued to tell their stories so that what happened to them does not happen to others. As our current federal government contemplates repeating some of our darkest moments, the Japanese-American story is more relevant than ever to prevent similar actions against others, such as the Muslim community. Please join me in supporting SCR 11 to remember our history and to preserve the Japanese-American journey so that we can continue to push toward a better California and a better America. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Senator Bradford, would you like to speak to this resolution?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I rise to add my voice to this very important resolution in a very dark period in American history. As an individual who grew up in a Japanese-American town of Gardena, I know all too well of the horrific experiences that many of my Japanese neighbors and friends experienced during World War II because of Executive Order 966. And as our senator stated, some of the bravest men and women who fought in World War II were part of Go For Broke, the Mighty 422, many of which who lived in Gardena and throughout the South Bay. And if you know your history about the South Bay, much of what is Palos Verdes today was Japanese farmland that very few ever returned to. It was only one or two families that were allowed to return to their homes and their farmland that was the Palos Verdes Peninsula after World War II. But this is a dark period that seems to want to repeat itself, especially in light of the executive orders that our current occupier of the White House has signed. So I stand here today in recognition of many friends and neighbors who lost family members during this internment camp, who suffered through this internment camp, but again, came back to their communities as working, contributing individuals who never lost faith in this country. Arigato.
Great. Thank you, Senator Bradford. Are there other members that would like to speak to this resolution? Seeing none, Senator Pan, would you like to close?
Yeah, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote on this very important resolution. Thank you.
Great. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Anderson. Atkins. Aye. Bates. Aye. Bell. Aye. Berryhill. Bradford. Aye. Kinella. Aye. De Leon. Aye. Dodd. Aye. Fuller. Aye. Gaines.
Aye.
Aye. Galgioni. Aye. Glazer. Aye. Hernandez. Aye. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Wesso.
Aye.
Jackson.
Aye.
Lada. Leba.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Mendoza.
Aye.
Mitchell.
Aye.
Monning.
Aye.
Morlock.
Aye.
Morrell. Newman.
Aye.
Wynn.
Aye.
Nilsson. Pan.
Aye.
Portantino.
Aye.
Roth.
Aye.
Skinner.
Aye.
Stern.
Aye.
Stone.
Aye.
Vidak.
Aye.
Wykowski.
Aye.
Wiener.
Aye.
Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Secretary, please call the absent members.
Allen.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Berryhill.
Lada.
Aye. Morrell.
Aye.
Nilsson.
Ayes 38, noes 0. The resolution is adopted. Great. Senator Pan.
Thank you. Thank you, Senators, for your strong support on SCR 11. Thank you, Mr. President, recognizing the Day of Remembrance. As we remember the Japanese-American stories of internment, I am humbled and truly honored to welcome to the Senate floor some of the individuals that tell these stories. I'd also like to point your attention to the gallery to recognize the friends, family, and longtime supporters that have made this day possible. Each of our guests here are wearing a purple ribbon, was directly affected by Executive Order 9066 and was placed in 8 of the 10 internment camps throughout the western United States. They were incarcerated in Amachi, Colorado, Tule Lake, California, Topaz, Utah, Jerome, Arizona, Gila, Arizona, Heart Mountain, Wyoming, Fustin, Arizona, and Minidoka, Idaho. Many of our honorees were only children, even newborns, when they were placed in the camps. Imagine a 2-month-old being considered an alien enemy. Despite the treatment given to the Japanese community, we have several veterans who served both during World War II and after. Jim Namba was interned at Poston, Arizona, and volunteered for the U.S. Army while in camp. He was training with the 42nd Infantry Regiment. John Sakamoto was working on a strawberry farm and was drafted into the U.S. Army in February 1942. He volunteered for the segregated all-Japanese-American 42nd Regimental Combat Team and served in Europe. Kyo Sato was 19 when she and her family were sent to Poston, Arizona. Kyo and her five brothers all served in the military. She served as an Air Force nurse during the Korean War and is award-winning author of Kyo's story. These are only threads in this tapestry of stories. Although I am regretfully unable to speak about all of our guests, I encourage you each to reach out to them and hear their stories. Most of them volunteer and even dedicated their lives to educating the next generation of Americans to ensure that they understand the importance of protecting constitutional rights for everyone. Now, more than ever, it is crucial we never forget what happened to the Japanese-American community. Recent rhetoric has been discussing using similar tactics against the Muslim community. When these discussions were happening and actions like Executive Order 9066 were taken against Japanese Americans, California was supportive. California even promoted the incarceration. Now we have the opportunity to form a different legacy for the future and never forget the stories of the past, for it is stories like those told by the people standing behind me that gives our work here in the Capitol a conscience. Please join me in welcoming these incredible individuals to the Senate floor.
Welcome. Group, isn't it? Thank you, Senator Pan, for SCR 11. All right, members. We're going to move forward. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Motions, resolutions, and notices. Anybody have have a motion, resolution, or notice? Seeing none, we'll move on. Okay, now we'll move to introductions and first reading of bills. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 296, 297, 298, 299, 300, 301, 302, 303.
Bills are deemed read. We'll now move to consideration of the daily file. Secretary, please read. Second reading file, excuse me.
Senate Bill 28, Senate Bill 47, and Senate Bill 48.
All right, members. We'll now move to governor's appointment. File item four. Senator De Leon? This is file item four, governor's appointment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we have Mr. Metcalf, Benjamin T. Metcalf, the Director of Housing and Community Development. He has, without question, demonstrated a very strong commitment to expanding housing opportunities for Californians, including increasing affordability, housing for veterans, and addressing homelessness throughout the state. He was heard in the Rules Committee January 25th and approved on a bipartisan unanimous vote. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator De Leon. Members, any comments or anything of any other nature on this item? Seeing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Atkins.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bell.
Aye.
Berryhill. Block. Bradford.
Aye.
Kinella.
Aye.
De Leon. Dodd.
Aye.
Fuller.
Aye.
Gaines.
Aye.
Aye. Galgioni.
Aye.
Glazer.
Aye.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Hueso.
Aye.
Jackson.
Aye.
Lara.
Aye.
Leyva.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Mendoza.
Aye.
Mitchell.
Aye.
Monning.
Aye.
Morlock.
Aye.
Morrell.
Aye.
Newman.
Aye.
Wynn.
Aye.
Nielsen. Pan.
Aye.
Aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Aye. Roth.
Aye.
Skinner.
Could we just cool it down a little bit in terms of the volume so that we can hear the vote? We're in the middle of a vote right now. Secretary, please continue.
Skinner.
Aye.
Stern.
Aye.
Stone.
Aye.
Vidak.
Aye.
Aye. Wykowski.
Aye.
Wiener.
Aye.
Wilk.
Secretary, please call the absent members.
Berryhill. De Leon.
Aye.
Aye. Nielsen. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Ayes 38, no zero. The appointment is confirmed. Thank you. We'll now move to unfinished business. That's item 9. Secretary, please read.
Oh. Senate Concurrent Resolution 7 by Senator Morlock relative to Korean American Day.
Great. Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last month, exactly on this date, January 13th, 1 month ago, we passed SR 7 unanimously. And it was appropriate that we passed it on the day that we were declaring Korean American Day. We have since added a few co-authors, and I respectfully request that I vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Members, is there any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, ayes 38, no zero. Measure passes. Members will now move to Senate third reading. Secretary, please read. Yes. File item 10. Senator Murlock, would you like to present this? It's passed on file. All right. Members will now move to the next item on Senate third reading. File item 11, Senator Leyva. All right, Secretary, please read.
Senate concurrent resolution 16 by Senator Leyva relative to Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month.
Great. Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, members. I am pleased to introduce SCR 16 proclaiming February 2017 Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. Teen dating violence is a serious issue impacting far too many California youth. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, nearly 10% of high school students have been hit, slapped, or physically hurt on purpose by a boyfriend or girlfriend in the past year. The serious impacts of experiencing this abuse can be truly damaging and long-lasting and can include reduced academic achievement, increased likelihood that victims will smoke or use drugs, engage in unhealthy dieting, or engage in risky sexual behaviors, or even attempt or consider suicide. By recognizing February 2017 as Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, we can not only call attention to this serious situation, but also to the importance of focusing on prevention and supporting our youth to develop the healthy relationship skills they need so that they can grow and thrive as they enter adulthood. Today, I hope you'll join me in recommitting to working towards a world where no young people will ever experience this abuse. I ask you for your support on Senate Concurrent Resolution 16. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Leyva. Members, any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, ayes 38, noes 0. The resolution is confirmed. All right, now we'll move to a return of the motions and resolutions. Anybody like to speak at this point? Adjourn in memory? Great, Senator Anderson.
Senators, I rise in honor of the memory of Albert Phoenix, better known as Boxy, who passed away on January 13th following a brief illness. Boxy was the last baby born on Capitan Grande Indian Reservation before his tribe was relocated to the Barona Ranch, which is known as the Barona Indian Reservation. Today, Boxy is remembered by the members of the Barona Band of Mission Indians as a passionate leader whose deep commitment to the preservation of the people's culture contributed significantly to making Barona what it is today. Boxy answered the call to serve our country when he was drafted into the United States Army in 1953 during the Korean conflict. He attained the rank of corporal and completed his service in 1955, after which he embarked upon a 33-year career with H.G. Fenton. Boxy was Barona's longest-serving tribal council member, generously giving his time and energy to his people for 40 years as vice chairman and councilman. Always guided by his deep commitment to preserving the unique culture and heritage of the Barona people, Boxy and his wife, Joan, taught plain-style songs and dance to the youth, which eventually led to the creation of Little Hawks Dance Troupe. Additionally, he was the founding father of the Barona Powwow, creator of the California Powwow Circuit, and was considered Barona's spiritual leader. As an elected leader, Boxy's strong passion for helping the community was demonstrated through his representation of the tribe's organizations like the Southern California Tribal Chairmen's Association and the San Diego Association of Governments, contributing to Barona's well-earned reputation as thoughtful regional leaders committed to the betterment of all San Diego County. Boxy is survived by his two daughters, Mary Beth Glocksko and Lori Whitecloud, his son Frank Phoenix, six grandkids, and seven grandchildren. Albert Boxy Phoenix made a profound impact as a cultural, spiritual, and elected leader for the Barona Band of Mission Indians. His vision and his dedication have left an indelible mark both on Brona and the entire San Diego region. You know, members, we all know people like Boxy who are the pillar of our community, and it was a great loss to the tribe and a great loss to East County and a great loss to San Diego County. I respectfully ask that we adjourn in his memory. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Anderson, and our thoughts and prayers go to the family. Senator Leyva?
Adjourn in memory?
Yes, please.
Members, it is with great sadness that I ask that we adjourn today in memory of Dawson Hartwig, the son of San Bernardino County Fire Chief Mart Hartwig. Dawson was a vivacious young man who passed away in Lake Arrowhead on Friday, January 27th, at the young age of 20. He was a 20-year-old student at California Baptist University and Riverside Community College, where he was pursuing a sports marketing degree. Dawson also played the guitar, composed music, and expressed himself through art and drawings. He loved basketball and played water polo at Etiwanda High School in Rancho Cucamonga in Senator Morrell's district, where he graduated in 2014 with honors. He was a bright and talented young man who was most known for his constant humor and genuine heart. Today, his unconditional love of others lives on through hashtag LoveLikeDawson social media movement, where people are responding to his life by choosing love in every situation. Today, we stand with the Hartwig family as they mourn their tremendous loss for Dawson's passing. I hope you'll join me in adjourning in memory of Dawson Hartwig, and let's try to live like Dawson and choose love in every situation today and always. Thank you, members.
Great. Thank you, Senator Leyva. Our thoughts and prayers go to the family. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to honor the memory of former Laguna Niguel Mayor Paul Glab. He passed away on January 26th. His distinguished career of public service started in the 1980s when he served as senior consultant on business, transportation, and housing issues for the Assembly Republican Caucus under then Assembly Republican leader Pat Nolan. Paul would later serve as an appointee under Governors George Duke Majan and Pete Wilson in the Division of Codes and Standards and the Department of Transportation. He continued his public service as Laguna Niguel's mayor in 2008 and 2012. He also succeeded me as the board chair of the Orange County Transportation Authority in 2012. I will always remember Paul as a good friend and dedicated public servant who cared about good governance. His passing was too soon and is a loss for my hometown, the state of California, and most importantly, his family. He is survived by his wife, Janice, and daughters, Molly, Janine, and Erin. I ask that we adjourn in Paul Glab's honor today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bates. Senator Anderson, for what purpose do you rise? Please proceed.
Senators, I rise to honor the memory of Pete Cuthbert, who passed away on December 14, 2016, at the age of 89. After graduating from the U.S. Grant High School in Portland, Oregon, Pete joined the Navy and was stationed at the U.S. Navy Hospital in San Diego as a pharmacist mate. While serving in the Navy, he met his first wife, Lori, at a USO dance. They were married nearly 40 years and raised three daughters that were Pete's pride and joy. When Pete moved to La Mesa in my district, Pete worked on the planning of a 4,000-acre residential development of University City in San Diego. He later became La Mesa's first city planner and designed a community park and landscape for various city buildings. His passion for plants, preserving nature, and improving his community led him to serve as a park planner for the County of San Diego from 1960 to 1983, where he planned important details for 54 county parks. And the people of San Diego County to this date enjoy these beautiful parks that Pete helped create. Another passion of Pete's was music, and he was great at using creativity to bring joy to everyone around him through his music. He played trumpet in a big band groups in his younger days in Portland. After passing away, his love of music helped connect him to his second wife, Marjorie, a music professor and a talented celloist. Throughout their 28 years of marriage, they enjoyed their mutual passion for music as well as their adventurous travels to China and many countries in Europe. Retirement for Pete meant more times to share with his talent and his energy with his neighbors and groups like La Mesa Beautiful, Grossmont Community Concert Association, and the La Mesa branch of Kiwanis, among many others. He survived by his sister, Ann and Priscilla, his wife, Marjorie, the three daughters, Cynthia, Lisa, and Terry, and five grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. I respectfully ask that we adjourn in memory of Pete Cuthbert. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Please bring his name forward. Senator Gaines, for what purpose do you rise?
Yes, under condition of the file.
Without objection.
Great, thank you. The good senator from Tehama has asked me to speak to you today regarding the potential failure of the Orville Dam emergency spillway, which could be a crisis of staggering magnitude. The footage has been incredible, the news ominous, and the actions extraordinary. Nearly 200,000 people have been ordered to evacuate, and it's unclear when they will be able to settle safely back into their homes. All of their property is at risk. Another string of storms is descending on Northern California this week. I'm praying that they can safely release enough water to get the lake down to a safe level beforehand. I want to thank all the people who are opening their homes and their hearts to give these people shelter and providing food and other supplies to help those who have been displaced. The Red Cross is doing its usual fantastic work to relieve suffering during this emergency. And I want us all to support them and any other organization that is working to get families through this crisis. We should all be thankful that California has a world-class team of first responders, engineers, crisis managers, and other critical personnel to coordinate the best possible response to this challenge. They prove themselves time and time again in the state's disasters, and they deserve our deepest respect and gratitude. If there is a way to keep the spillway whole, they will find it. I want to offer a special word of thanks to our colleague, the senator from Tehama, who spoke with me this morning. He's working around the clock for his constituents right now. He's doing everything he can to coordinate all the many moving parts involved in this response and making sure that his constituents have the very latest information about the condition of the spillways, but also about every possible shelter, food bank, or other resource that can help. He is always an outstanding representative for his district, but I think that under pressure, we are seeing his abilities in full bloom. And I want to commend him for a fantastic job that he's doing right now. We will get through this. Spillways may fail, dams may break, but the California spirit is unbreakable. God bless the people threatened by this emergency. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gaines. Please let Senator Nielsen know that we are with him and all of his constituents during this tough time. Members, we're still under motions and resolutions. Are there any more adjourn in memories? If there is no other business, Senator De Leon, the desk is clear.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Colleagues, welcome back. We will reconvene on Thursday at 9 a.m. I do want to follow up on, I should say Friday. It's going to be a three-day weekend, but on Friday at 9 a.m., so that means obviously we will work until the end of this week. But just to follow through on the comments from the good senator from Roseville, our hearts on behalf of the Senate, our hearts and prayers are with the people of the Oroville area. We know that close to 200,000 people have been evacuated from the area because of the imminent danger. We do know that our governor has declared a state of emergency. The National Guard has been posted up north of us right now. I have received phone calls from both of our senators, obviously including Senator Nielsen, who has kept me apprised. And I want to thank him also, too, for being on top of this. And again, our hearts and prayers go to him and his leadership and what he's doing to protect his constituents north of us. Obviously, the past month has been very unique with regards to our wet weather pattern. These are what NOAA calls the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, Administration, I should say. These are called rivers. These are literally what's happening right now is you have rivers in the sky that have the same amount of volume and power as the mouth of the Mississippi River. So these are atmospheric rivers right now that are in the sky right now. A lot of it's quite unique, what is happening today. Quite frankly, I'm not quite sure if it's going to get any better anytime soon. You just made reference to later this week, more storms are coming. Some of it has to do with warm rain, which has melted the snowpack, you know, north of us, which has created a deluge of more water because of climate. So this is a very serious issue. But again, irrespective, our hearts and prayers are for the people north of us, and we need to come together. Thank you much.
Thank you, Senator De Leon. Members, the Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We will convene Friday at 9 a.m. Have a great rest of the day.